Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
You know, I wear a fro all the time. I love my hair.
State Representative Lakeisha Bosley wants to talk about your hair.
You know, putting their hair in whatever way they want to. Like, you can cut it off if you want to. Why does hair make that big of a difference?
The St. Louis-based Democrat has introduced a bill in Jefferson City. It's called the Crown Act. That's an acronym for Creating a Respectful and Open World for Natural Hair. The bill would prohibit discrimination in the workplace, in schools, public accommodations, and other areas based on the hairstyles worn by some people of color. That includes braids, afros, curls, twists, and dreadlocks.
You know, some people actually do come out and say it and say, well, I can't hire you because your hair looks like that. What are you going to do to your hair? You know, this is a professional place of business.
I'm Sarah Fenske. This is St. Louis on the Air. And before we move on, I want to remind you that the biggest source of St. Louis Public Radio's funding comes from listeners like you. Because you value what you hear on St. Louis on the Air, donate today. Go to stlpr.org/donate. That's stlpr.org/donate. Representative, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I appreciate it to have the conversation. You know, a lot of times we don't get to have these conversations, but thank you for giving me the platform to talk about it.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing this up. Tell us about this Crown Act. How big an issue is discrimination against natural hair?
It's a very big issue. This is a national movement. This is not something that is just here in Missouri. It's all over the country. When you Google natural hair discrimination, you find a lot of different stories that come up about 12-year-olds and 3-year-olds and 4- and 5-year-olds who have been discriminated against in educational institutions. There was a girl in Louisiana who could not go to school. They banned her from a Catholic school. This is a Christian Catholic school. Because of her natural hair, because she had braids. A young boy who was a wrestler, he had to cut his locks on the mat during a wrestling match or be forced to forfeit. And when we have these types of situations happen, you're pretty much demonizing people for just being who they are, naturally just being them and representing their culture, or just, you know, putting their hair in whatever way they want to. Like, you can cut it off if you want to. Why does hair make that big of a difference?
It's a great question. Education. Yeah, like, why would teachers care about this? Do you have any sense what the root of the passion around this issue for people who'd want to tamp down this hair?
Yeah, I mean, let's think about it in a broader sense. You're worried about hair. Now you're pretty much disenfranchising this child from learning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can't learn just because they are just being. Like, what sense in I don't know what anybody else, if they feel a certain way in hearing that. I can't learn because I was created this way.
Mm-hmm. And this is what my hair naturally does. Here I am. And they're saying, that's not good enough. Go away.
Exactly. It's a way to make young girls and boys of color to feel like they have to conform to society's ideas of what is beautiful and what is acceptable. I think that is problematic because society should tell us, and it has told us, that we can be whatever we want if you're white. But if you're black, you can't do that. You have to be 10 times greater and still not get accepted into a job. But now, not only am I not qualified because of my educational background, but now I'm not qualified because I wear braids or because I have kinky coily hair if it's 4C, or I have locks because I'm tender-headed and it's better for me to, like, just be able to have locks because it's more manageable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot that goes into that.
Representative Bosley, is this something that you have ever had to deal with personally?
Absolutely. During my campaign, I was always told that I needed to look more presentable. I needed to do something with my hair. because I used to wear a puff. It was easy for me to just put my hair up in a nice little puff, brush it on the sides, and just get it and go to go knock on doors. Mind you, I was knocking doors in 100-degree weather.
Right.
Who has time to straighten their hair every day, first and foremost? And secondly, my hair is going to poof back up anyway. Mm-hmm. So I might as well just let it be how it's going to be, which is kinky coily. And one of the most memorable moments during my campaign was when I just got hot. I had on a wig, you know, I tried to do the conform. I had on a wig and I snatched the wig off as I was campaigning. Like as I was knocking doors, I snatched the wig off because I just could not do it.
How do you deal with those kind of comments? You're there, you're trying to get people's votes, but at the same time, for somebody saying, like, you can't do your hair this way, they're really coming at the core of who you are.
Absolutely. But not only just the core of who I am, but the core of my culture. Mm-hmm. You're coming at the core of many of women and men who have been this way for 400 thousands of years and plus and so forth, that you with braids, if we go back through African culture, braids were symbols of a higher statute in certain patterns. Braids, if they were braided in a woven pattern, showed the landscape of how the land was, so that you'll know where your home was or where a certain tribe was. Like there is more of a history and an appreciation for being a natural-haired woman or just being who you want to be, period, without having to have someone tell you that what you believe in is not important enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make a great case for this, but that leads us to the next point, and that's, you know, having a law that would prohibit discrimination based on this. How do you affect something that would actually end up being effective in stopping this? It feels like maybe some people, they'd say, oh, I'm not going to hire that person because of their hair. They're not going to come right out and say it. It's something that's a lot more insidious. So how do you begin to use the law to make this illegal?
Well, it's actually worse than that. You know, some people actually do come out and say it and say, well, I can't hire you because your hair looks like that. What are you going to do to your hair? You know, this is a professional place of business. And you use the law to tell these CEOs and these corporate leaders and small businesses and whomever else feels like they have the authority to tell someone that you're not qualified just because your hair is naturally curly. The law has been in place to tell people what is right and wrong from the beginning of its existence, right? You can't get service if you don't wear a shirt and shoes. So why is it that I can't put in the law or someone can make a law that says you can't discriminate against someone because of their natural hair?
Mm-hmm. You're saying it is that insidious. People are flat out saying, well, that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so you've said this is a national effort. Do you know, have other states passed something like this at this point?
Yeah, there has been 18 states, if I'm not mistaken. I know Kansas City in Missouri actually passed a law on their council level, on the local level. Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard in the city of St. Louis right now just got the bill out of committee. It was passed out of committee 5-0 with the legislative committee. So it's not just a national movement. This is a local issue. And with her being a hairstylist for over 20 plus years, she really truly understands what it means for a young woman or a young man to sit in a chair and feel beautiful, but then have to suggest to themselves and tone themselves down because society or their businesses tell them that they can't do that because they come off aggressive. You know, I wear a fro all the time. I love my hair. I think it's one of, you know, it's my crown and glory. You know, the good book tells us that, right?
For sure.
So I think legislatively telling people you can't discriminate against someone is absolutely imperative because remember, Black people were only considered 3/5 of a man before. Mm-hmm. In legislation, legislation was passed for redlining where Black people couldn't apply for loans or get into certain housing districts because of legislation. So why can't we do the same to tell people you can't tell someone that they are wrong for just doing what's naturally a part of just who they are.
So you mentioned this is making some progress at the Board of Aldermen. You're in a trickier situation there in the Missouri House of Representatives. The Republicans have control there. Every year they seem to talk about wanting to do tort reform. They want to make things easier for businesses, not add more regulations. Do you have any hope that the Missouri House could be on board for the argument you're making here?
Yeah, absolutely. It passed out of the House last year. Former representative, now Senator Barbara Washington, carried the bill last year on the House side, and she passed it out. It was passed out of the House. Unfortunately, it didn't get out of the Senate because of, COVID reasons. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the bills that we pushed through were strictly related to COVID, reducing gun violence, and things of that nature.
The Senate kind of ran out of time there. But here, with a new session, you could bring this back. Does that mean you'll have to push it through the House all over again?
Absolutely. I have to go through the entire process. And for us, it's easy for someone to say, well, it's not vetted, but it is vetted because it passed through this entire body once before.
That's a great point there. I mean, you can just say, hey, guys, we're asking you to do exactly what you did last session. You think that they'll be willing to listen to that?
I think they are. I think that there is a temperature for it. I think that, people see us fight more than they see us actually working together. Pretty much 98% of the bills that we have come up on the floor are really bipartisan bills. But we just, media and just other representatives, of course, constituency bases, we just like to harp on the things that makes us different. And I am a strong believer in just, acknowledging the things that makes us similar so that we can attend to get a lot more passed for Missourians across the board.
Representative, we actually have a colleague of yours who has called in here. I think this is a great time to take this call. Let's go to the phone lines. Representative Mike Person is here on the line. Representative Person, hello. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi. Hello. Hey, sis. How you doing? I'm glad.
I'm good. Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, it's always good to do a shout out to my fellow colleagues on your subject matter. Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate here in the 21st century, we are still having this conversation about Eurocentric values as far as what is style and what is acceptable as opposed to Afrocentric. And the reality is, it really doesn't matter, but we put still a strong emphasis on it. And it has an intrinsic impact on African-American ladies, because they feel that somehow there's something inadequate about the way their hair grows naturally. So I'm just glad to hear that you are addressing something that at this day and age, we shouldn't have to still be addressing. But we are, and you're on it, and it's good to hear from you, sis. I will see you soon. And
I appreciate you for saying that. I appreciate that 1,000%, and I do. And I can't wait to work with you, continuing to work with you.
Well, that was a great surprise call there from Representative Mike Person, giving a shout out to the work that our guest today, that's Representative Lakeisha Bosley, is doing in Jefferson City. She's talking to us about the Crown Act, which passed the House last year. They're going to have to pass it again this year. This would prohibit discrimination in the workplace, schools, public accommodations, and other areas based on the hairstyles worn by some people of color. We do need to take a quick break. We'll be back shortly to continue this conversation with Representative Bosley. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Back to our conversation. We're joined today by State Representative Lakeisha Bosley, who's working on some big things in Jefferson City. And Representative, it's worth noting you're beginning your second term this month. You're just 28 years old. What was it like starting in the Missouri House in your mid-20s? That seems like an unusual thing for somebody in their 20s to want to do, much less to be able to do.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of the people beforehand who felt a way about government, you know, who didn't want to participate in it. I was a part of that millennial clique at once upon a time. You know, my parents were, and my father was a Board of Aldermen member for over 30 years. My mother is a committee woman, and she has been for over a decade now. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in politics. You know, my brother, Freeman Jr., was the first African-American mayor for the city of St. Louis. So politics was not something, or public service was not something that I was new to. Mm-hmm. I just saw it. And constantly hearing my peers tell me that they didn't think that the system was valid, it didn't work for us, it made me feel a way. And I had to run for office. I felt an obligation because I knew how the system worked, but I wanted to show them that we have our backs. Like, we are still here. Our voices matter. They should not be put to the wayside. They should be at the forefront of the conversations, and we should be in the rooms having the important conversations. So I didn't have an interest in running for political office. You know, it made me late for basketball games and track meets. Like, who wanted to participate in something like that? But when I went off to college at Tennessee State University, my first year, I realized that it was important to be a part of the conversation. If not doing something on the backside with like nonprofits or helping people run their campaigns, good people, then to be the actual person that ran.
It sounds like you saw the non-glamorous side of the job front and center when you were a kid.
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, that has to have an impact on someone. But you were able to overcome that. It wasn't a particular issue. It was sort of the obligation for somebody to speak for your generation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my dad showed me a level of humility that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. This is a man who would pull over on the side of the road if he's getting waved down by one of his constituents just to answer one of their problems, no matter where he had to be. You know, they used to say, you know, he's on Bosley time, being late all the time, right? But it was because he was actually doing the people's work. Like, he wasn't, you know, just throwing it to the wind. Like, he was actually out in the streets with his constituents, working with them, making sure that their questions was answered. So I got to see the glamorous side of it, but the not so glamorous side, you know, was more so of me just being a kid and having the ego that I had to feel like I deserve to go to basketball games on time, Pop. more so than him, you know, taking care of the people at the time. And then I grew to appreciate it. He was my Black Panther and my Superman before there was even a comic or even a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, he was always my hero. So I got to see everything.
And as far, you know, everybody in your family, there's so many different people you could turn to for political advice. Your brother, your father, your brother Brandon is now an alderman currently. Yes. in the city of St. Louis as well. Who's your sounding Yes. board these days?
Everybody's my sounding board.
You got a lot of sounding boards.
I have a lot of sounding boards, but you know, the biggest sounding board is my constituency. If they tell me no, then I'm voting with them. I'm going to be with them. If I morally don't agree with something, I would explain that. I believe as a public servant, you should be able to tell anybody why you vote the way that you voted and give them adequate, you know, reasons. And if they disagree, then it's a way to be disagreeable without being disagreeable. So I my sounding board is just people, period. If I can talk to you and you make reason and your arguments are valid, and after I do research, then why not?
So most of the people in your family, with the exception of your mother, but they've been men in politics. You're doing it as a woman. You told our producer one of the real surprises for you when you got into politics was how women are perceived. How so?
Yes. We have to always have a double standard for women in politics, or in even any position of power, right? So if I am a woman, I can't be too emotional. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm too emotional, then I seem erratic. I'm out of place. I'm out of pocket. But if I'm not emotional enough, which we saw what happened with Hillary Clinton when she was running for president, that I'm too stern, I don't show enough emotion. But as a Black woman, that's also a stigma that if I show too much emotion, then I'm the mad Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the angry Black woman. But if I don't show enough emotion as a Black woman, then it's she's cold-hearted. What is she thinking? If she's not thinking anything, then I can't work with her. I can't deal with her. So I didn't realize that it was this much of a double standard for how people can just talk to one another and simply just disagree with one another. I didn't realize that until I ran for public office.
So now that you're a seasoned old pro at 28, do you feel like you're finding that right balance, or do you not even care about that right balance? You're going to be you.
I think that it's important for us to just be us. I am passionate about criminal justice reform. I'm passionate about discrimination against natural hair. I'm passionate about all of these things. Why can't I show that passion? Yes, I can take the approach of just relaying the information, which is always it. But if you've ever found any public speaker, an effective public speaker, they have octaves in their voices. You know, they actually relay a story. They tell you the truth with how they sound. So why can't I do the same thing? So, I mean, I care, but I really don't.
Good for you. You know, I want to bring it back. You mentioned the Crown Act there again. And we did have a caller who called in. We don't have time to take this call, but I do want to raise this issue that he raised, because I imagine he might be speaking for others who are worried about this as well, and I'd love to give you a chance to respond to this. This is Saul, who called from Washington, Missouri. He says he's a restaurant owner. He has concerns about businesses not being able to regulate hairstyles as it relates to food preparation and health and safety. And Representative Bosley, I'd love to hear your response to that concern.
I understand that, but we have nets. In any food industry, they tell you have to wear a net on your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have locks, your locks are long, but you still have a net that's long enough to conceal and obtain those locks. And some people wear double the nets to be able to, you know, catch any of those follicles that could potentially fall into the food. It's not about a regulation of that. And that is more so for your local level than it is on the state level. This bill actually bans discrimination in educational institutions, which is what the state has control over. However, I disagree that you have to conform in a way to make the safety regulations, because we already have things in place to do that.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great answer there. I hope Saul was able to hear that. And just hearing you talk, and man, you are fast on your feet. You were ready with that. Do you see politics as your long-term future? I mean, is this, you said you were reluctant to get into it. Now that you're in, are you all in?
I'm all in because the people are all in. You know, I fight for them. I'm here because they wanted me to be here. If they didn't want me to be here, they wouldn't have never elected me. And that's the approach that I take. I am here for as long as the people want me to be here. As long as they want me to continue to advocate and have a voice and step up to the plate, then I will do that. I'm also, you know, very comfortable in just being a state representative right now. You know, we see people want to climb the political ladder a lot, you know, with their sights on something else. But if you have your sights on something else, then you're not focusing what's directly in front of you. So let's focus on what we can change right now, and me being a state representative. And, you know, if the people want me to do anything further, I will. But right now, I'm just comfortable being a state rep.
Well, State Representative Lakeisha Bosley, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me. And I appreciate you, as I said before, giving me the platform to talk about these things. Sometimes it just gets dismissed. So I appreciate you for allowing us to have this space.
Well, and I appreciate you working on this issue. I mean, this has just been, it's been good for us to hear about. And, you know, people who have questions, turns out you have answers for those questions. And so it's great to get this discussion in. And we do want to say to our listeners, if today's conversation about Black hair discrimination resonated with you, you might be interested in a discussion we're going to host in early February. New research by the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology says doctors have noticed a 400% increase in hair shedding among people of color. And on February 4th, I'll talk with Aubra McField. She's the CEO and founder of Abracadabra Hair and Healing. She'll explain how stress from the pandemic and racial injustice has led to an increase in hair loss loss within the Black community and what all of us can do to mitigate hair loss caused by stress. So we want to hear from you. Have you experienced hair loss in the past year? Tell us about your experience, and you can also send us your questions. To do that, you can email talk@stlpublicradio.org, or you can call and leave us a voicemail. We have a dedicated line for that. No one will pick up. You can just leave your message. It's 314-516-6397. That's 314-516-NEWS. And before we say goodbye today, a reminder that we always welcome your questions and comments. That might be a recommendation for someone to interview, a personal story you'd like to share, or in the case of this caller, a suggestion of how we can best serve our community.
This is Barbie Anderson. I live in Southwest City, and in listening to all the updates via commercial radio and television as well as KWMU, I am struck by the idea that contact information and update information on the COVID-19 vaccines never includes a way to call on by phone. You know, part of my frustration with this is that it always leaves out a group of people who don't have either, and it's often the poor people or older people. And no wonder they're at the end of the line when it comes to getting any kind of benefits.
So thank you to Barb Anderson for bringing this issue to our attention. And if you're a resident of St. Louis City and you would prefer to schedule a COVID-19 vaccine appointment by phone, you should call the city's health department hotline. Get your pen and paper ready, because Barb has that number for you.
The number is 657-1499, the City Health Department's COVID hotline, 657-1499.
And that is 314-657-1499. Now,
if you learned something new
from
today's episode, consider leaving us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the easiest way to help people discover our show. We appreciate it.
Illinois residents can reach that state's hotline at 1-800-889-3931. That's 1-800-889-3931. Now, suffice to say, getting a vaccine is likely to be a whole different hurdle even after you call these numbers. But those are the numbers to sign up. And again, we want to say thank you to Barb for putting that issue on our radar and also pointing us towards those numbers. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.